Chapter 1. Cater. Becoming a criminal is a choice, my father would say. We either choose to accept the way things are, or try to force fate's hand. Father always spoke in such definitive terms. Shadows were dangerous, Edom was illegal, and liars were cowards. Well, then, call me a coward, because some lies were necessary. Like the tiny detail of where I was working over the summer. What my father didn't know wouldn't hurt him. After inhaling breakfast, I joined the commuters gathered by the local trolley stop to downtown Cardell. Although the permacloud hung over the capital city, diffusing shadows into a safe gray, the group stood away from the buildings. Despite what Father said, shadows weren't inherently dangerous. But people instinctually shied away from what could linger within. The 7:30 trolley announced itself by screeching around the bend. The carriage hurtled by, packed to the brim with commuters, the driver not even offering a wave of apology as he passed the stop. It hadn't taken me long to learn the trolley never ran on schedule, and I had to be 30 minutes early to arrive at work on time. Last week marked the start of my 3-month apprenticeship at Edom Legal Aid. Before commencing my final year at school, my mentor was none other than Grayman Toyer, the number one public defender of Edom-based crimes, and an old friend of my father's. I needed Mr. Toyer's recommendation if I wanted to shorten the duration of my undergrad studies and apply to law school after 2 years instead of the usual 4. And as my sister liked to remind me, patience wasn't one of my virtues. That wasn't entirely true. She said I possessed no virtues. I planned to eventually become a prosecutor for the Crown Court. The Crown Court was the highest court in the land and dealt with the most serious Edom crimes. But studying the other side of the law would be invaluable as a prosecutor, ensuring justice prevailed for victims and their families. Families like mine. As I glanced at my watch, something bright sparkled off the glass face. A spot of sunshine. Thanks to the machine in the center of the city that pumped water into the air at the exact right temperature to generate a fog. It was rare to glimpse unobstructed sunlight. Occasionally, if the temperature unexpectedly changed, the permacloud would falter, allowing the sun to break through. With sun came the darkest shadows. While most streets had been cleared of any substantial trees and the shadows they could cast, hundreds of lampposts lined the sidewalk to flood diffused light at nighttime. With nearly constant cloud cover during the day, the lamppost's shadows shouldn't be a concern. But now, with the sun streaking through the cloud, the thin gray lines on the sidewalk turned black. And within the pitch-black shadow lay a shifting substance, as though something dark and simmering had been spilled onto the pavement. Edom. Edom allowed you to manipulate time and change your reality. I glanced at the commuters around me. No one else appeared to notice the Edom lying within the shadow. I planned to ignore it, until the man beside me moved into the patch of sunlight. I wouldn't have given him a second glance until he bent to the ground. Surely he wasn't about to... Please. His voice was urgent as the inky shadows trickled over his skin like liquid, covering his fingers in darkness. I can't be late. Not again. I'll lose my job. Please, help me. Edom spread from the lamppost's shadow, across the sidewalk and into the cobblestone street. It pooled in the center of the road and began to rise into the shape of a trolley, near where a child was crossing the tracks. The trolley would run him down before he could even realize what had happened. The shadows began to solidify and turn red. Any second now, the trolley would be pulled into our reality from somewhere in the past or future. I shoved the man away from the shadow. The shadows on the street dispersed instantly, the connection to the Edom lost. Hey! I gestured to the kid crossing the tracks. You could have killed him!
I'm sorry, the man cried. Please don't tell the Regency. I was desperate.
The trolley was always late, and yet this man was the only one who sought out Edom.
I'm sorry, the man said again.
The woman beside me had already opened a panel on the nearest lamppost and pulled out a pair of shackles. She snapped them onto the man's wrists, locking him to the post before he could make a run for it. The Regency had their own trolley line that ran throughout the city, allowing them to dispatch agents to sites of Edom crimes and any attempted usage. Opening the panel alerted the Regency. It took only 10 minutes for them to arrive at the scene. 4 Regency agents jumped off the small trolley in unison, their silvery cloaks falling down behind them with a thwomp. They were dressed head to toe in a light gray, the color of Tallinn and the royal family, and safe shadows. Silver epaulets lined their shoulders, and rows of polished buttons ran down their front. My mouth went dry. I was 10 years old again, trying to explain to my father why the Regency were at our door. But this time, I wasn't about to be dragged from my home.